All right. So Sid's not here. Y'all know the drill. They're in Utah. I hope they're getting snowed on and all that good stuff. I think they are. I think they got some good pow. I think that's what the guys call it. Powder. That's cool. That's hip. I'm hip, Brent. I don't know if you know this about me, but I know stuff. They're after the pow. After the powder. Tyler, am I right? Fresh pow is what we want. Fresh pow. The guys, when you go home, you say, look, man, we're going to go find some fresh pow. Looking for that fresh powder nobody's been on, right? Anyway, so y'all just, I'm sure they're having a fantastic time. And others who are out of town doing different things today. I'm leaving the lights off. I know it's a little dark. Don't go to sleep on me, please. Just hang in there. It's raining outside. I think presence, God's atmosphere, his presence is an important thing that we try to achieve when we come in here. And I don't want you to look outside. I want you to focus on him and what he's saying this morning. So if you can't read your Bible, feel free to get your phone out and shine a light on it if that's no good. And if it's just aggravating, we'll turn them on. It's no big deal. It's just lights. All right. So I've got this sermon put together for you, okay? And I feel like God's taught me something, so I'm just going to pass it along. But before we start, it's New Year's, so I had to tie this into New Year's somehow. So I thought this would be interesting. Let's look at, oh man, did I click off of it? No, here it is. This is why you should save stuff and not depend on your phone. Traditions from around the world. I was hoping Jeff was going to be here because I've got the Philippines in here. So what's everybody's tradition? Generally, in the South, I know, and we didn't do it this year, but sometimes you have to have your greens and your peas. Is everybody familiar with this? Is this a normal thing? Everybody knows. This is like a Southern thing, I'm assuming. Maybe a U.S. thing. But, you know, you're supposed to, more greens you have, the more green money you get. If you eat that on New Year's Day, and then the more, I think, is it black-eyed peas? Is that what you're supposed to eat? Black-eyed peas is more change. So, obviously, what are you going to eat more of? Eat the greens. Toss the peas out. We don't need that. We want the green money. So that's the one that I know of in the U.S., obviously. We always, and of course, like Nick was talking about earlier, we make the New Year's resolutions. I think that's kind of a worldwide thing that we're going to get in shape and we're going to do all those good things. But I thought, I wonder what they do in other places. So I kind of pulled this up, and this is just to get us in the right train so that I can say I gave you a New Year's message. In Spain, as the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Eve, the Spanish eat 12 green grapes in quick succession. That brings good luck for each month of the year. So they're popping grapes. So, you know, you're sitting here at midnight, they're eating grapes. Interesting. That's what they do in Spain. In Brazil, you wear white. That signifies peace and happiness. So New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, people may be wearing white, and that's why they're doing that. They want peace and happiness, so that's kind of cool. I thought this one was super interesting. In Colombia, there's a tradition or a bit of a legend that carrying an empty suitcase on December 31st is good luck. It is said to usher in plenty of travel opportunities for the new year ahead. So I guess if you go there, people are walking around with suitcases that are empty because they want to travel. I think that's cool. That's interesting. In the Philippines, this is why I was going to double check and see if Google's right, because Jeff would know. In the Philippines, and I think this was in a few countries that I read through, it's commonly known Filipino tradition in New Year's to wear, collect, or eat round items. Round fruits are consumed. The clothing with round patterns such as circles or polka dots are worn. This shape brings good luck. Coins are, of course, also round, which invites prosperity. In Greece, they hang onions outside on their door. In the Balkans, they make a bread and they put a coin in it. And it's supposed to be good luck if you eat this bread as long as you don't accidentally swallow the coin. And then that's bad luck. So you have to be careful when you eat this bread in the Balkans. That's going to bring you good luck. In Ecuador, they burn effigies, which I think they do that every time we protest now. But they've got like their political leaders that they don't like or whatever. They make little effigies of them and they burn them to start the new year off right. So that one's a little, I don't know. It's Ecuador, so be careful. Scotland, a lot of people go and do the Loony Duke. That means that you go out in really cold water and you jump in it and come out. It's called the Loony Duke, and I can see that being a Scottish thing. In Japan, they ring bells all over the country, I think, from their Buddhist temples and things like that, bringing in stuff. This one's interesting. I don't know how this would go over here. In Denmark, you get brand new plates that have never been used, and you take them to your loved one's house and you smash them outside in their yard or in front of their door. That's what you do. You just go, you know, and just smash it. I would come over, I'd knock on the door, hey, young James, you in there? Look, poof, smashing some plates because I love you. And then you have to clean them up, I guess. I don't know. Brings you 365 days of good luck. Finland, they melt 10, not sure. This one I could get into. All right, here we go. Estonia, it's all about eating. So you need to eat a lucky number of meals in Estonia, all right? So if you eat a lucky number of meals, then the more meals you eat, the greater your year is going to be. So you need to eat at least 7 meals. That's unadventurous. 9 or even 12 if you can stomach it. So you need to eat at least 12 meals if you want like this awesome next year. So there you go. That's Estonia. Germany, they eat donuts. Something about the round thing. Italy. Again, it's kind of the Denmark. I don't know if this is anger that comes out in people. If you have old furniture laying around, you throw it outside. Like out your balcony, whatever. You break chairs, you throw stuff out. The Italians, they're different folks. I guess I could ask Sid on that one. He has been to Italy. I have not. Czech Republic, they do something with apples where you cut them open, and depending on how the seeds are laying is what kind of year you're going to have. In Ireland, they take baked bread and you bang it on the walls outside of your house. You just take baked bread. And if you didn't know people and you watched New Year's resolutions and what they happened, you would think everybody's lost their mind. And in Turkey, they smash pomegranates. So that is some of the things that we do to start the new year around the world. I thought those were interesting. One thing that all of these traditions have in common is it's this whole idea of I want out with the old and I want to start something new. I want to start something fresh. So we make up all these traditions, and all these are obviously worldly traditions that have nothing to do with the Bible, have nothing to do with God. It's just stuff we've made up. It's fun stuff, half of it. I mean, it would be fun to smash plates in front of Tyler's house. I don't know why, but it would be fun. But we do these things because we're signifying something. We're signifying a new start. We're signifying I want to move away from this old year, even if it was a good year, and I want to make it better. I want to move away from this year because maybe it was a bad year, and I want to move to something better. It's all these, always I want to move forward. I want to do better. I want to take the next step. I want this to be better than that. That's what New Year's resolutions are all about. That's what New Year's is all about. That's what, you know, a new thing happening, a new thing. This is the time of year we start all that. Like Nick was talking about earlier, you know, we want that new body. You know, I want to get in the gym. I want that new focus. You know, we've been off of work for a week or so, and depending on what you do, and I'm going to go back in and really, really focus in this year. I'm really going to do better, and we're really going to succeed, and we're going to do this and that. I'm going to get more organized this year. I'm going to start a new hobby this year. I'm going to get better habits this year. That's my thing. Half of my stuff would be solved if I just had better habits in my life. And so what a great time to start that. January 1, we're going to start it. You know, that's what we do. Out with the old, what's in store for this new year? Possibly, since we're at church, and this is, you know, what we want to talk about, possibly it's spiritual stuff. Last year, I was able for the first time, I said, I'm going to listen. I think I mention this every time I'm up there because it has made an impact on me this year. I said, I'm going to listen to God's word all the way through. Not read. I'm not the greatest reader, and it would take me 3 or 4 years to do this if I just did this as a full-time job because I'm a slow reader. But I listen to a guy read the word, and I don't get it every day. I'm about 2 weeks behind, Marty. I got to finish. Confession. Sorry. I got to catch up. But I'm almost done. But just hearing God's word, and it's Old Testament, New Testament every day, and you're just hearing God's word be read. I've never done that before all the way through. I haven't. I've never done the Bible all the way through. I always felt like it was more coming in than I could process. And finally God said, yeah, it is. You can read one scripture and it's more coming in than you can process, so just let it flow. So I'll turn it on at work and just let it flow. And I'll just grab what I can grab, you know. I guess I thought I was going to wait till I was wise enough to understand everything before I read it. And God's like, well, you're going to be with me before that happens, so you might as well get started. So a spiritual thing, you know, maybe that's something, you know, maybe a baby step in your life to do that. Maybe you read through that, you know the word forward and backwards, and that's awesome. Deeper walk, deeper understanding, renewed faith, you know, are these things that you want? And I will say this, if those are not things that you have thought about, why not? This year, if you not thought about, I want to be closer to Him this year, then we need to check ourselves. If I'm more concerned if I've got a six-pack than if I know the Word of God, if that drives me more, how I look in the mirror or how I feel about myself or how organized I am at work, than what I know about God and who I am in Him and what He wants for me and what I'm doing for Him and the whole real side of life. Because, guys, what we are living in and walking in every day is not the real side. This is the flesh side. There's real stuff to it and there's real consequences in it. But there's something so much greater and so much deeper, and that's the spiritual side of who we are. That's God. That's God Almighty. That's why you're in this room right now. Because that's who we are. So that better be, and if it's not, guess what? It's a great day to start over. Great day to say, you know what, God, I do need to refocus that. I do need to put that ahead. Not that there's anything wrong with other things. Yes, God wants us to be healthy. God wants me to be a healthy person. He wants me to eat right. He wants me to exercise because He's given me a body that He wants me to take care of because it's His. He gave it to me, and I abuse it sometimes. So, yeah, God wants us to do those things, but at the expense of my spiritual side, no. No. So if you're sitting like, man, I could go to the gym or I can read the Bible. I give you permission to read the Bible, okay? So, man, James told me I could read the Bible. But you could do both probably. Or you could put it in your ears and run and listen. Yeah, just saying. Just suggestions. I don't know why I'm giving you guys suggestions on being healthy. Follow my plan. All right. All that's kind of set up. I want to read Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. I love how this is written. I love the way that they brought this out in the Passion, just a slight bit different than some of the other translations, just some of the wording. But let's talk about Ephesians real quick. We talked about this just a little bit in the side room this morning. The book of Ephesians is a beautiful, beautiful book. And I know everybody in here has read Ephesians, familiar with Ephesians. Ephesians is obviously written by Paul. He was in prison when he wrote this. He was locked up. So you can imagine all this being written from behind of a cell or in some kind of incarceration. I don't know if it was a house arrest at that point or if he was in a cell. I'm not sure. It's traditionally known and understood to be written to the church in Ephesus. That's why it's called Ephesians. But nowhere in the text is anybody in that church mentioned. They said the original transcripts, there was Ephesus or Ephesians was written kind of in the margins on the actual transcripts. So they assumed that this was, and it's traditionally understood that this was written to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian church. It was definitely read by them, definitely intended for them as well. But there's an idea, because he doesn't mention anybody, that maybe this was a general, much more general to the church in general, where, you know, some other books are written to actual congregations, and he mentions people in that house and those. But now those all apply to everybody. But this one's a little bit more broad in what it's teaching us and telling us, and it's more basic information that we need to know, basic but yet deep information that we need to know in Ephesians. Ephesians is a pretty awesome book. They all are. I mean, like, you can't pick one, but there's some amazing stuff in here. I love the way this is written. So we're going to, I'm just going to dive in. I'm going to read through this real quick, so y'all bear with me. And then that's just how I know to do stuff. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to talk about it and let the Lord lead. In chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 11. And again, one thing to note that I didn't mention. This is written to non-Jews. This is written to the Gentiles. Ephesians is written to the Gentiles. Not that it doesn't apply to the Jews, the Jewish people. But as we read this, it'll make sense. This was written to us. This is written to people who weren't born as a holy person into the Jewish culture. You know, this was written to people that were from around the world, to people in Rome and different places in Italy and Greece and everywhere that Paul was spreading the gospel. These people were not really in tune with what the Jewish culture was doing. They didn't understand all of it. They were behind the curve, if you will. They were like we are growing up, and we just, you know, we know of God what this word says. So this is where this church is coming in. Verse 11. So don't forget that you were not born as Jews, and you were uncircumcised. Circumcision itself is just a work of man's hands. You have none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners to Israel's incredible heritage. You are without the covenants and the prophetic promises of the Messiah and promised hope and without God. Yet look at you now. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far from God, you have been brought delightfully close to Him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew, one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, He has broken down every wall of prejudice and separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of His precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been replaced by His command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews fused together. Two have become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ. Through His crucifixion, hatred died. Read that again. Through His crucifixion, hatred died. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you. The ones who were distant and those who are near. And now because we are united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access to the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are children of the city of the Holy Ones with all the rights as family members of the household of God. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple. Your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building and anointed one, Jesus Christ Himself. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under His supervision until it rises up, completed as the holy temple, the Lord Himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, His dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Amen, amen. That's some heavy stuff. That section of Scripture is so full of stuff. You could study it in 2022, and that would be plenty. The revelation that happens in this, the revelation that you can imagine these people were reading this and understanding this for the first time. This is the first time that they're saying, you're telling me that I am equal with God's chosen people. You're telling me that I am equal with these people who have been your people. They know history. They know that this is God's chosen people. They know what's going on. I'm equal with this. I'm co-heirs with Christ. I'm coming in and I'm in this amazing, amazing place. I mean, it's just in verse 12, we find out that we don't belong. In verse 13, we find out that everything is new. 14 through 15, we find out that Jesus made the way and He is peace. In 16, we find out that we're reconciled and that hatred has died. In 19, we find out that we are His children with rights as a family member. Same rights as a family member. In verse 20, and I want to talk about this for just a second, then this is some interpretation the way that the Passion, that they did it a little bit differently. They just kind of drew out of 21, and they added this, you are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives are being built upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and the prophets. So at this point, oh, put our picture up there, Casey. We're going to need that in a second. Sorry, I about forgot it. Casey, find me a picture. I'm a visual guy. But So at this point, the tabernacle and everything is inside of the temple, a hard-built temple, beautiful temple. Solomon built this temple. It's in this amazing place. And he's talking about how well the stones are fit together. And I didn't get a picture of that, but the stones are just fit together so perfectly. And it's just beautiful. And I haven't been to Israel, but there's remnants, there's different things that you can see of this building, this style of building and everything. And it's just the masonry work is amazing. I mean, it's just going to look like poured concrete. They weren't pouring concrete then, Marty. They were taking stones and fitting them together perfectly. He's referencing the church. He's referencing this body today. He's referencing the body down the street, First Baptist, First Methodist. He's referencing all these houses of God. He's referencing really his collective body and how we're supposed to fit together and we're supposed to do things together, and what we're doing is building this greater thing for God. And the American church has lost sight of the point. Because we don't want to work with anybody else. We want to do our own thing. And we want to build our own little temple here, and this little temple built here, and this little temple built there. Not that there's anything wrong with having different congregations, but it's the mindset behind it is, my temple is better than your temple. No, you're all working for the same temple. And I'm supposed to fit into this little slot right here, and you're supposed to fit in that little slot. And when we come together, we're going to make this perfect section. And because we're all tied together, we're all tied to the head cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. The church has got to figure that out. We've got to figure that out. But there's something about stonework that we don't like. They don't just go out. It's not like stacked stone. You know, you go out west and they get the beautiful stacked rock and you just take the rock, however it came out of the creek, and you just plaster that thing up there and it's its own little design. The stonework we're talking about right here is made to fit together. So that means that somebody gets a rock, beautiful piece of stone, but you know what? It's not quite what it needs to be right now. Because I need that little ear knocked off right there. If it's going to fit in with this one, this has got to be removed. And I don't like that. See, I don't want to be a stone on a mason's block getting worked on. And that's our thing. We went, well, I'm going to be individual. And yeah, there's times to be individual. And God created you to individually, but God also created you to fit together with each and one, every person in here, and to do His work. And sometimes we can't get over our own ego and our own self-promotion or whatever it may be to do what it is that God wants us to do. And God says, no, that part of you needs to die. So we say, yes, you are who God says you are, and that's super, super important. We're about to get to that. But remember, sometimes what God says you are, you need to change a little bit to be into that. There's things that need to die sometimes. My sin man needs to die, you know? My pride needs to die. Those things need to go away. And we think, oh, no, we're going to put it all together. We're going to put it up on that stack rock. God's not building a stack rock fireplace. He's building a temple. And He wants this thing to fit together. So it's super important. Super important. That is really kind of a side note, but as the way that was written, we are under construction. In verse 21, we're under construction. We're under His supervision. He is supervising this construction project. And again, this goes from a personal construction project all the way to His kingdom construction project. This kind of applies on all levels, what God's wanting to do with us. In verse 22 is kind of where I want to get. In verse 22, this means, after saying all that, this means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, His dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit in you. So, pop our little picture up there. So, you all know what this is. I'm assuming everybody has seen this in Sunday school or whatever. When I was in one of the churches we were in growing up, there's a few of them, but it was kind of a cool thing. We did, the boys met, and we built the whole tabernacle. You bought a kit, and you had I think, I can't remember how big it was, And it had all these little pieces that you had to glue together. It was like a little construction project, had fabric in it. It was really neat, actually, and I remember it to this day. And you built the outer courts, and then you built the inner courts, and then we built the tabernacle, and we built all this stuff. And so we'd come in every week, and we'd learn about what we were building. So it kind of stuck with you. And I just always still see that little model that we built sitting there. And obviously, this is part of it. This is just a rendering, obviously, of what people think and would imagine. And I think there's obviously some accuracies to this. There's a million of them. Me and Casey just picked this one out because it looked the clearest. But you see the layout of it, and I want you to make note right here. You see the curtain. That separated the outer courts. I'm sorry, that separated the inner courts from the Holy of Holies. So where the little priest man is standing, he's in the outer courts. You walk through that first court curtain, and that's the inner courts. And then you have to go through the last curtain, that last veil, to get into the Holy of Holies. I've always had, and you should as well, this great regard and respect for the Holy of Holies in this structure. This is depicting what it would have been like as it traveled. This is what it would have been like in the desert as they were traveling around. It was in a tent. It was in a tent. God lived in a tent. He traveled around with his people. When they moved, they destructed this thing with very detailed instructions, and they moved it, and they put it back up. The Ark of the Covenant, obviously we all know about the Ark of the Covenant. There's poles through it. Priests had to move it. They couldn't touch it. They'd die. The whole story. This is where this thing dwelt. This is where it lived. This is where God's presence lived. David didn't like it. David said, my God doesn't need to live in a tent when I'm living in this beautiful house. I want to build a temple for him. I want to build a structure for him. God said, you got too much blood in your hands, but your son will build it. So Solomon comes in, and they move this whole thing into a permanent structure. That's what we were just talking about, how these rocks were built and formed perfectly to fit into one another. So whether it's in a tent or whether it's in the actual temple that was built in Jerusalem, this is a special, special, special place. You know the old story, they had bells on the bottom of their robes, so if they went in there and they had sin in their life and God would strike them dead, they could hear the bell stop ringing, and they had a rope tied around his foot, and they could drag the priest out and send another one in. I always felt bad for the guy that went in after that one. I always felt bad for that guy. I'm like, whoa, guys, I got to run. I forgot. I left the oven on at the house, so Billy, you're going to have to go. I always felt bad for that guy. When, I always heard that story growing up. I'm like, man, it stinks to die, but what if you're that next dude? You're thinking, okay, so did I do everything? Did I kill Special, special place. An amazing place. You know why it was amazing? It's not because everything was covered in gold, and it's not because of this massive fabric that separated it. It's not because of what the contents inside that box were. It's because that's where God dwelt. That's where his presence was. So before Christ came, you had to get inside that room to be in his presence. Because that's where he was at. Now God would do things, and obviously God is God, but in general. And guess what? None of us in this room could go in there. Not one of us. Not one of us would be. They'd kill us before we got there. The guards would kill us if we tried to get in there. We are scum, Gentile, pagan, pathetic. You have no right. You have no place. We couldn't get to the outer courts. We couldn't get close. Forget it. And Paul tells these people, not only can you enter it, it doesn't matter anymore because you are it. You are it. You are being formed and the Holy of Holies. See, I've never read it that way. I've never noticed that jump out at me that it says, I am the Holy of Holies. We just sang a song, I am who you say I am. It's something, I mean, it's cool. God calls us so much stuff. We're his children, we're his heirs, we're his bride is the church. We're all these things, and we talk about that a lot because we're very, very big on who you are in God and understanding that, because I think that's the key to us doing what God wants us to do. So we have to understand that. We have to understand that I have the authority to do things in God's name, in his power, in his power, in his presence. But when I think about I am the Holy of Holies, talk about feeling unworthy. Because this represented so much. Still does represent so much. I mean, it's an amazing thing that God did what he did in this. In Matthew chapter 27, something amazing happened when we're talking about this, and it just really felt like we should talk about it. And let me get to Matthew chapter 27. And it's just in verse 51. That's really all I wanted to bring out. Before it, it's when Jesus passionately cried out and took his last breath and gave up his spirit. Jesus is being crucified on the cross. We all know this. And at the moment Jesus cried out, and the moment he died, at that moment in verse 51 of Matthew chapter 27, it says, at that moment, the veil in the Holy of Holies was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook violently, rocks were split apart, and graves were opened. And I've always heard that, and we've always, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. That massive curtain that we were just looking at. Massive curtain. I'm not sure the dimensions of it. It's an accurate dimension. I mean, it's told what that curtain is. It wasn't torn from the bottom as if two men were trying to stand on each side and rip it. It was torn from the very top straight down to the bottom. Because the hands of God took that curtain. And that curtain was like super, super thick. You can look at the dimensions later. I'm not good on that stuff. It was like 9, 10 inches thick. It's super thick. Ripped from the top to the bottom. And I've always thought, and it's been so cool, and it's very true, I have access. I have access. At that moment, the significance of this changed dramatically. At that moment, all of the history of the Jewish people changed dramatically. Because now, James from Bremen, Georgia, can walk over there and access God. I can walk in and access God. I can walk in, and you know what? This cat out here in this little robe standing in the outer courts is making sure nobody gets in. He means nothing to me anymore. I don't need him anymore. I don't need him anymore. I don't need the next guy in here doing all this stuff and making me clean and burning all this stuff because somebody came and did it for me already, and his name was Jesus. And that's how I've always looked at that. Like, I have access to the Holy of Holies. I can talk to God directly. I can stand here and say, God, I love you. God, I praise you. I can play my little guitar. I can raise my voice and sing. I can raise my hands. I can bow down and pray. I can open that word, and he will tell me something and not some priest somewhere that has to interpret it to me. I have access to him now. Wow. Talk about God doing a new thing. And so many times in my life, I don't even give that significance. I don't even pray some days. Some days I don't pray, Marty. Some days I just give what? Man, did I even talk to God yesterday? How messed up is that? There's something else, though, that God, I felt like, showed me in this. Because he said that we became the Holy of Holies. It says it right here in verse 22. I want to read it again. You guys think I'm making stuff up. We just read it. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. So when the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, then you become the Holy of Holies. You become his dwelling place is what that means. You become his dwelling place. So when that veil was ripped from the top to the bottom, yeah, I can get in, but guess what? God can get out. God gets out, and he gets out in the form of me and you and you and you. And God is now saying, you know what? I'm not going to stay in this anymore. This is not working for me. This is not working for me. This new covenant, this new thing that I'm doing, I can't stay in here. So guess what? Every believer, you're becoming the Holy of Holies. 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 So guess what? That thing's not stuck in Jerusalem anymore. That thing's not stuck somewhere out in the desert walking around with a people that don't even understand what God's doing in their life. He's walking around and he's going in every school system in this country. He's going into every workplace. He's going into every situation. His Holy of Holies is being brought into that place because you are now the Holy of Holies. Look in the mirror now. Because, yeah, okay, I'm a bride, and those things are great, and, yeah, I'm a son, and those things are great, and all these things are great, but I'm the Holy of Holies. I'm bringing his presence everywhere I go. It's my job. It's my job to bring his presence into this situation, this broken, messed up situation. That's what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, it's great to go to the wedding feast, and it's great for God to lavish all this wonderful stuff on you, but you have something to do in 2022, and it is not just get all the gifts. It's to give something. It's to give something. And if you are not giving something, God will say, okay, I still love you. That's great. That's wonderful. But sit over here in the outer courts for a little while I find somebody who knows what it means to take me out of this place. Because I need to be outside. You see, you have the outer courts and the inner courts, and you have the Holy of Holies. Like Nick was saying when we were in the side room, we were talking about it a little bit. Such a beautiful picture. If you look at it this way, this is religion. And sometimes we just want to get people, if we can just get people inside the church and into the outer courts out there with a little dude in the dress is standing. If we can just get out there, if we can get them people in there, I'll feel good about myself. Man, if I could just fill all these little brown chairs up, we'd be doing what God wanted us to do. You know, that's great and that's wonderful. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But religion says that's the goal. Religion says the more people sitting in here, the better off we've done. There's some truth to that. I'm not taking away from that. I understand what I'm saying because I want people to hear God's word, and it's coming out every week here. So this is a great place to hear it. But that's the end goal. Or, okay. Well, let's get them to listen to a little praise and worship music. Let's go into the Holy of Holies. Let's go into the inner courts. Let's go in there where the candlesticks are at and the bread's at. And gosh, I don't remember it all that stuff years ago. But everything that's in that room, super significant. If you want to study something that'll just like really stretch your brain, study the importance of everything in this room. But you know what? Let's get them doing this or that. And what we have deemed is that next level. That next level of let's get them in, listen to some praise and worship and raising their hands, and then we've got it. And we make all this stuff up, don't we? We got all these things, and religion builds all these walls. And you know what we start to do? We say, okay, well, let's build a fence, and let's build a wall, and let's put a curtain down, and let's say these are these barriers to get to this next place. But God says, no. I'm done with all that. You're the Holy of Holies. You're where my presence is at. You are where my presence is at. That's where I want you. So we're talking about new stuff. New stuff. We want new stuff. I want new things in 2022. Did we just read anything that was new to you? Not what James said, because I've learned something over the years. A guy can be talking, and God can be talking at the same time, and I hope that's what's going on every time I'm speaking, because somebody can be saying something, and God can be telling me something else. That's how it should work when you're, not that you don't listen to people, but you know what I mean? Sometimes Sid will be speaking, and he'll be talking about something that he feels like God has brought him to speak, that God has spoke to him, and it's an awesome word. But I'll hear one sentence, and God takes me somewhere else, and I don't know what else he said, because God's teaching me something else in that moment. You know what? That's what needs to happen. That's what a personal relationship is. Because you guys don't need me, and you don't need Sid. Now, there's purpose and point, and there's reasons for it. We need to function. Again, back to the temple. He says we're fitting together, so we all have purpose. We all have function. We all have things that God wants us to do. So not saying that you don't need a pastor in your life. Don't take that away. It's not what I'm saying. But you don't have to have that pastor to talk to God Almighty. Understand the purpose of the pastor. Understand the purpose of the teacher. Understand the purpose of a worship leader. You don't need Tyler up there to lead you into the presence of God. He has purpose. Is there point? Absolutely, 100%. Are we here to worship together? Yes. Do you have to have leaders or it gets kind of crazy? Yes. But you don't have to have that. Because you know what? That veil is torn. It's torn. It's torn. They fixed it. They hung it back up. That's beside the point. God tore it. So have you learned something? When you read God's word in general, is he teaching you something? If you close God's word and say, well, I didn't get anything out of that, open it back up. Give it another second. Open it back up. If you just read and don't get anything out of it, I promise you it's not the word. Get where you need to get to understand what God's trying to tell you. If you haven't learned anything out of this, wow, that's awesome. That's cool. You need the mic next week. That's awesome. I was trying to figure out how to tie this in, but don't compare your new thing to somebody else's new thing. Okay? Don't do that. That's bad. Don't look at Sid and see where Sid's at in his life and say, well, I'm really not experiencing anything new until I get to where Sid's at or past where Sid's at or whoever it is that you put in a place that you most likely shouldn't put. So we have in the last, y'all know, and I usually talk about this some too, but it strikes me when I think about it sometimes. We've been fortunate enough to do a lot more traveling like out west and stuff in the last 3 or 4 years that we weren't doing before when our kids were younger and stuff. And God's blessed us with some ability to do that, and it's been wonderful. So I'm getting to see all these new things. You know, Marty, we talk about it all the time. You know, I'm getting to go to, we've been to Yellowstone and gotten to go to Grand Tetons. And y'all look at the side of my Jeep. Y'all can see how proud I am that I get to go to these places. It's kind of cool. It's like, hey, look at me. I've been to these places. But honestly, if you know my heart, it's so I remember them when I look at them. It's not to show off, so I apologize if y'all feel like I'm showing off. I'm not. I like my stickers because when I look at it, I remember things that happened there. I remember seeing, you know, my kids see the Grand Canyon for the first time when I see that sticker. That's why it's on there. It's not to brag that I've been all these places. Although, if you think I'm cool, I'm fine with that. You can think I'm cool. A lot of you have been there, too, so I'm not. When we first started going out west, though, our first trip, I'm going someplace new. Is the Grand Canyon new? From what I read at the visitor center, it's been there a while. It's not new. But to me, it was new. When we first started going out there, I'm asking Scott, because Scott's been going out there for years, out west and Yellowstone and everything. I'm like, Scott, what road should I take with my camper? You know, what do you think? Where should I go? And Scott, well, you need to go here. Don't go on this road. You know, we would talk about it. You know why? Because he's been there. He'd taken his parents out there. He's been around all out west. And Scott's a great resource if y'all want to go out there. He knows a lot. So just, if you get a phone call, that's why. But was it new to Scott when I was talking about it? No, it wasn't new to him anymore. It's something he'd done. He's already been there. Scott had already been to Yellowstone before I'd even crossed the Mississippi River with my family. But did I care? No. Because it was new to me. It was something I'd never seen before. So don't walk in your faith and say, well, God's never really talked to me the way he talks to Sid. Just listen for that next word. And bask and enjoy that new thing that God is doing in you. That new thing that God wants to do for you. Casey, there's things that I have experienced that you haven't experienced yet in life. So you can't say, oh, I'm just barely getting to where James is at. No, it's new to you. There's things you've experienced in life that I haven't. Same difference. And so many times we get down on our faith and we get, well, I'm just not where all the whoever it is that you put on this pedestal, that stuff just drives me nuts. But whoever it is that you put on a pedestal somewhere, oh, I'm not where they're at, so I'm not going to try. Guys, if y'all knew my real knowledge about this word, then y'all wouldn't come. Just forget it. I'm not coming next week. You didn't know anything. But you know what? This is revelation to me. This is revelation to me that he can calls me. I know God. I know who he says I am. Sid's very detailed about who, beloved, all that stuff is awesome, and that's great, and I'm not taking away anything from that, but I've just never heard that. I'm the Holy of Holies. I'm the Holy. I'm that little curtained off room that I built as a little kid at some little storefront church that we were in. I'm that now? So, don't compare your new with somebody else's new. Because this is a person, this is the thing, guys. It's a personal relationship. It is a personal, Mary, it is a personal, Haven, it's a personal relationship. It's different. There's things, there's nuances that's going to be different about it. Now, there are things, there are truths. I'm not taking away truths. There's hard truths in the Word all day long that are truths. But your relationship, make it personal. We got to share this. We've got to be the people that leave. God ripped that veil, yes, so we can get in, but he was coming out. He was telling us, I'm coming out of this room. I'm coming out of this room. So if we want God to do these new things in us. So I'm just going to leave with a few questions and we're going to wrap this thing up. I'm going to let you guys go. What new thing do you want God to do? And yes, it's New Year's, so yeah, it's a great time. Guess what? On August 14th, you can do the same thing. Okay? This isn't because it's New Year's. Ask yourself that every day. Ask yourself every time you go to God, say, God, you know, what new thing do you want me to do? What new thing do you want me to be involved in? And then you have to ask yourself the second part, what new thing do I want God to do? That's a great thing, and that's a great place to start. Okay, God, I want you to do X, Y, Z. But the next question that you've got to ask yourself is, what am I willing to do to meet God there? Because I want God to make me a millionaire. Okay, what are you going to do to get there? I want God to, gosh, I wanna learn Spanish, and I want to go to Honduras with Marty this year, and I want to build houses. Okay, what are you willing to do to get there? If God has called you to do that, if that's a burning in your heart, what are you willing to do that? Gosh, I feel like we need to start up this whatever ministry. Okay, what are you willing to do that? What are you willing to do? If it is in his plan, you can't want it more than God. If it's what he wants to see, and that's what the thing. We make up stuff and say that's what God, and God, there's some freedom, and God's going to say, yeah, this is, hey, you want to go learn how to ski? Then no problem. If that's what you want to do, I'm going to support you. And Sid talks about that, and that's cool. I agree with him. What I'm talking about is a little bit different. I'm talking about your general purpose. I think God has a purpose, an overall purpose. I'm not talking about all the fun you have on the way. I'm talking about like what you're going to accomplish for the kingdom kind of stuff. And I think he has something that he's built you to do. I believe that. I believe the word bears that out. But if you're in that path that God wants you to be in, then he's five steps ahead of you the whole time. He's just excited. And then my example on this one is my kids this year. Cammie always gets presents. She's kind of, I don't even know what they get till, you know, it happens. No, I'm a little bit more familiar than that. But generally, you know. But this year, for some reason, my kids have kind of wanted, none of them are in here. I think Isaac's running the camera. So, but they all wanted, like, outdoorsy stuff. Like, jackets, sleeping bags. Noah's wanting to do some, truck camping in his truck, and he's got a tent on the back and all that stuff. So he's like, want all this stuff. He's like, literally right up my alley. Like, we're going to REI to get presents, and I'm like, woohoo! I'm like, pumped. Cammie's like, I guess we're going to have to go to REI. I'm like, that's terrible. And I go in like, oh, look, we need to get this. Oh, no, we need to get this. And she's just like standing back like, just bring what we need. Because you know what? They were in my vein this year. They weren't wanting weird-looking sneakers that I've never seen before in my life. I can't even go into Hibbets anymore. I don't even know what's going on in there. I'm like, people wear these? And Isaac's over there, these are awesome. I'm like, what? So I'm usually kind of out of the loop on stuff. I'm like, okay, if that's what you want, that's what we'll get. I mean, you know. But this year, they wanted a little bit different. It was some stuff that I understood, stuff that was in my vein. So, you know, I could sit over here and try to talk Cammie into buying a $1,000 tent for Noah, you know, just this is what he's got to have. This is so cool, you know, because I'm all excited about it. Your Heavenly Father can get so excited when you're doing what He wants you to do. When we're in His vein, guess what? He's going, you want to go to Honduras and build a house? Let's just go. Let's do this. Let me do this. Let me make this way for you. I'm excited. Oh, you want to take my presence into a place of darkness where people don't know me? That's what you want to do? That's your heart? Oh, I'm going to go with you. Guess what? We're going to kick this door open and this one open, and I'm going to punch this guy out of the way, and I'm going to make a way for you when you're in His will. There's a point where if you keep getting resistance, maybe not the devil, it may be God. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and tells you whether you're doing the right thing or not. Because just because you made a closed door doesn't mean that God's not going to kick it open eventually. So there's two things about it. There's such a thing as a right way and a wrong time, and a right time and the wrong way. And that's what we got to get. Nick, that's what we got to figure out, saying, okay, God wants me to do this thing. Maybe God wants me to minister to whatever situation. Guys, I always make up stuff. I don't know. You know, let God apply that to your life wherever you're at. But maybe there's something that you need to do in life, and you're like going to go gangbusters right out and go do it. And God's like, whoa. I got to leave this door closed for a second because I need to do some other stuff on the side here. Because everything's not in the proper place. See, I'm putting it in your heart right now because I want you to prepare and I want you to get ready and I want you to get fired up about it, but you're not ready to do this thing yet. You're not ready yet. The situation's not ready yet. And we're like, well, this must not be God because this door's not open. This must not be what He wants me to do because it just didn't happen super, super fast. Noah wants to go overlanding in his truck and everything. So I didn't just like get him a stove and him just like leave the house immediately and drive out to Utah. Not ready yet. We got it. For one, you ain't got no money. Two, there's a lot of things that got to happen and there's a lot of things that got to transpire for you to get to do the stuff that you want to do. You know, we got to get some more gear in place. You do have to make some money. You got to have some time off. You got to have all these things need to happen for you to get to go do this thing. So, as pumped as I am that I want them to do it, there's time and a place. And if you're there with the right heart at the wrong time, it may have the same result. It's not going to be accomplished. Y'all know those roads in Atlanta, and I never use them because I'm scared to death of them. And I just don't do stuff like that. I'm a rule follower, and I don't even like to, you know. Like when it says left lane closed ahead, I'll get over immediately. When I see that sign, I'm that guy. I'm like, oh, okay. And then everybody's passing me. I'm like, jerk! So if you're that person and you have passed me, I don't like you. I'm like, come on, you saw the sign a half mile ago like I did, and I've been sitting in this slow lane the whole time, and you think, oh, I'm more important than you, so I'm going to ride around. I don't like those people. Tyler, the way you're looking at me. Although I read something the other day, they said that everybody will just split up and everybody get down there at the same time, and then they take turns, it moves faster. I have heard that, so credit to people who do that, but I don't like it. But you know those lanes that, like, certain parts of the day, they'll go eastbound. And then in the afternoon, they go westbound. Yeah. Those lanes. They scare me to death. They've got big red flags on them. There's all these, I don't know where their roads go. I'm like, I'm going on 75 North, and it's like, but it doesn't go where I'm going this way, and that road goes up. I'm like, where's it come in at? I never see where those roads come back to where I'm at, so I never take them. But they have these roads that they'll flip. So in the morning, they're going the direction of traffic to aid all the people going into the hellhole we call Atlanta. There's a few places God doesn't dwell. No, just kidding. And then in the afternoon, they'll flip them around so that all the people going back to the promised land can get out. These roads scare me because you know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid I'm going to be on the wrong road at the wrong time, or maybe the right road at the wrong time. Because that road has purpose and it serves purpose. And I'm sure people a lot smarter than me know how that works. And they can show you, yes, I can move traffic X amount of time faster if we do it this way. So there's a purpose in that. But if I'm there at the wrong time, you know what I'm going to do? Have a head-on collision with something I don't need to have a head-on collision with. So that's what we have to do. When the Holy Spirit's coming into us and God's presence is abiding in us, that makes us where we have to be more sensitive to what God is saying, what God wants us to do, and when God wants us to do it, how God wants us to do it, and who God wants us to do it with. So in 2022, if you want God to do something new in you, understand that we are the Holy of Holies. Understand that we are carrying His presence. And His presence doesn't just hang out. His presence does stuff. When God's presence shows up anywhere in the world, anywhere in the Word, something happens. Something happens. Something changes. The atmosphere changes. Something happens. And you know what? It happens for the good of the kingdom. And if He's telling me I'm that thing, so I need to get in tune with what He wants me to do, where He wants me to go, when He wants me to go there. And that is all my notes, guys. That's everything I've got. So, I don't know. We don't have communion this morning. I think we have a lot of people out of town, and I didn't realize that we needed to do that, so I apologize. But like Nick was saying earlier, you know, communion is a wonderful act, and it's showing you, and it's important not to take anything away from us. God commands us to do it. We just don't have it this morning, so you can spiritually take communion this morning. I'm just going to... I'm going to close us out in prayer. I mean, it's us, guys. If you guys know if y'all need to get in the altar, you always can. But it's just us in here this morning. So I'm going to close us out and just pray blessing over this next year. We'll just go from there. We'll call it a day. Heavenly Father, I just come to You this morning, God. God, I'm so thankful for this revelation to me of what You want me to be and who You want me to be, God. You call me Your Holy of Holies. You call me the place where You're going to dwell. As long as the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and when I accept You and accept Your Holy Spirit in my life, God, I become the place that You dwell, which is all the Holy of Holies was this place that You dwelt. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank You for that revelation this morning, God, and I pray that I carry that new revelation because to those who receive much, much is required, God, and I feel like I've received something from You that's pretty heavy, that I carry Your presence in a way, in a little bit different way than I've ever thought about before. So, God, as I interact with people who don't know You, God, as I interact with people who know You that are broken, as I interact and do the things that I do each and every day, God, I pray that I remember this year and for the rest of my life, God, that I'm carrying You with me. I'm bringing Your presence everywhere I go. And how do I present Your presence? God, I pray that I present Your presence the way that You want me to. God, I pray that I hear what You want me to do this year. God, I pray that every person in this house has new revelation in You and who You are and who they are, God. I pray that you start something right now, God, in this house and these people, God, that takes us beyond the outer courts. It takes us beyond the inner courts, God. It takes us into the Holy of Holies. And God, not even only that, God, it takes the Holy of Holies out with us as we go into this world, God. Just be with us, Heavenly Father. Be with this year, God. I pray blessings over this year, God. I pray blessings over every household that's represented in this house right now, God. God, I pray that you do a new thing, God, in every household here, God. I pray that you bring healing and you bring restoration, God. You bring hope and you bring promise, God. God, I pray that you bring vision. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just bring purpose, God, your purpose, a burning purpose, God. I pray that you send your desire in every household, a desire to do what you want done. We love you, God. We just praise your name, Heavenly Father. I thank you for the opportunity to come into this building, God, and meet with your people. I thank you for the opportunity to worship you. I thank you for the opportunity to open up your word and try to explain something that I don't even totally understand, God. You love us so much, God. You love us so much. We are so thankful for your love, so thankful for who you are, God. I pray that you just touch this week, touch this new year, God. Touch those that are traveling, God. Be with the sick this morning, Heavenly Father. I pray that everyone who's just not physically where they need to be, God, I pray that you begin to work in their lives, God. I pray that you touch people spiritually, Heavenly Father, where they're at right now, God, and take them to that next place, God. We just love you. We just praise your holy name, God. And it's in the power and the authority that your Son gave us when he died on that cross. It's through the authority that we have been given when that veil was ripped from the top to the bottom and we began to get access to you. God, I pray that we never take that access for granted. I pray that we never take for granted the fact that you call us your dwelling place. We just love you, God. We lift it up to you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.